town.
They have the.
We gotta wait till the.
They would come to.
Yeah, I can guarantee Ryan's cheating. I didn't get the hanky. Thus, I've ordered a wardrobe for my office so I can keep shirts in here for quick changes. Because I'm too cheap to spend the gas to go home and do it.
Okay. I didn't want to say anything.
No, you already did. All right, no problem. Okay, Chair will call the Finance Committee meeting January 24th, 2012 to order. Those in attendance, Councilpersons Kilpatrick, Sheldon, Street, Collins, Cartier, Weiner, Retta, Councilman Smiley, Co-Chair of the Finance Committee. Tara Finnegan will be taking the minutes of 1-10-12 meeting. What's your pleasure?
Motion.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you very much. First on the agenda is a resolution on the consent calendar congratulating the Office of Finance for earning a Distinguished Budget Presentation Award for Newcastle County's FY 2012 Comprehensive Annual Budget Summary for the 22nd consecutive year. Congratulations. Outstanding job. Really, I don't know how you did it before council expanded. I know we have credit since, but. Yeah.
And Melody for the finance office. I especially want to thank Dave Duff, Randy, and Russ Morris, and some of the people that are back in the office. Dave was the one who really managed to get that document together, so I appreciate it.
Thank you. I continue to be amazed. If you can just get it together to print money, we will really be good. just an outstanding job, and continue to appreciate it. Next on the agenda is Ordinance 12-003, appropriate $300,000 to the Neighborhood Stabilization Program 2. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This $300,000 is a $300,000 that we appropriated with the emergency ordinance back on the 13th of December, and this ordinance simply replaces that one as required to replace emergency ordinance with the regular ordinance.
Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Okay, hearing none. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry about that.
Marcus Henry, General Manager of Community Services. I just want to say I'm happy to report as of Friday, January 20th, the state has in fact reached the 50% expenditure goal. The total expenditures now stand at $5.4 million, with Newcastle County expending $3.4 million of that total. That includes $300,000. I want to thank Council for their assistance, and I also want to thank Carrie Casey and my tremendous staff for making that happen so quickly.
Thank you. Councilman Cartier.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the reason we have this appropriation is because of our ability as a government to invest these funds in communities, to show a track record of doing that and being aggressive to take advantage of those opportunities.
Exactly. So, it's the same reason we lose public safety funds. Efficiency. So on one hand, you get it. On the other hand, you lose it. So, okay. Next, we have 12-005, amend the grants budget, appropriate federal grant award to the ARRA Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force grant for the Department of Public Safety. Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this would appropriate $56,287.58 to the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. This money also comes from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, and it does what has to be done to address this major problem. Take some of these folks off the street.
Any questions or comments from council and the public? Okay, hearing none. I have not been aware of any item J's, K's, or L's for finance. So we will move to the Sheriff's Office presentation of funds. Mr. Navarro.
Thank you very much, sir. Good afternoon, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Trinidad Navarro. I'm the Sheriff of Newcastle County. Before I took over, or just after taking over office, just over a year ago, I asked for a comprehensive audit of the Sheriff's Office. the funds in version 4 and funds in version 3. In April of 2010, we transitioned from version 3 to version 4, which is the newest software that we use in the office to link monies from accounts, well, to actually to link monies and accounts together. So if we get a bill for a certain dollar amount, the system will pay that bill. And there's the old version, version 3, had fungible accounts or funds that would allow you to take money from one account and pay it on others. So it was really difficult to track those dollars in version 3. Since 2005, there's been about $109 million that's gone through the sheriff's office. Of that money, before we got into this electronic version of keeping and accounting for the dollars, a lot of this was done with handwritten ledgers. So my real estate coordinator, Chris McBride, I asked him very early on to look at this legacy account, the money that was left in version 3, and let's reconcile it. Let's get money that belongs to other folks. Let's get it out. See, version 4 won't allow us to transfer that money in. And for the last 30 years or so, one account was opened up and then closed, and money was just transferred over. And so it was really difficult to determine that X amount of dollars went to this account, because it kept, for many, many years, it kept just going from one account. They'd open up another account, so it would be a legacy account. So version 4 doesn't allow us to do that. So when I started, there was about $900,000 in that account that Chris worked for almost a year to try to find out where that money went to. I'm happy to say that about half of it, about $475,000, was returned to the rightful owner. The rest of it, which is $424,111.46, it's my conclusion that it belongs to Newcastle County. Of that money, $147,000 and change is interest earned on the hundreds of millions of dollars that have been in those accounts for probably 30 years. The other $200,000+ is most likely the monies that was supposed to be a part of the sheriff's 3% or 4% fees. I'd like to thank Bob Wasserbach for the audit. A lot of good came out of that audit. We're changing our policies. We're actually in the process of writing new procedures. We're going to hire a CPA to reconcile our accounts, so we have an outside set of eyes to do that. And that really helped us tremendously with coming up with these policies, because, you know, when you do things the same way each and every day, you don't realize that there could be better ways to do things. So they've given us a laundry list of things for us to do to improve the service, to improve the accountability, to improve what we do in the sheriff's office. So we're moving forward with those suggestions. I think a lot of times people think that an internal audit or auditors are sort of like the boogeyman. In this case, they really came up with a lot of procedures and policies for us to improve the way we do our work in the office. So this is the check. We're going to close out version 3. It's for $424,000, $111.46. And again, this is...
And divided by 13 comes to what? Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's ask the auditor.
Council Grant?
The account's been open for a long time. In my opinion, it needs to be closed and dispersed to the rightful person. The rightful entity, I should say, is Newcastle County.
Okay, I believe we have a question or comment from Councilman Wire.
Thank you. Sheriff, congratulations on a job well done. It's found money for the taxpayers, and on behalf of all the constituents we represent, thanks very much.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
And we expect you back in 3 months with another check. Mr. Wasserbach.
Yeah, Bob Wasserbach, County Auditor. I just wanted to compliment Trinidad and his team, his dedicated, hardworking team. Trinidad has shown real leadership since taking over as the sheriff. He's got a great management team with Stu Snyder and Ron Fioravanti and Chris McBride. He's got a very good staff, dedicated, hardworking, as I said, and they were very receptive to constructive comments and suggestions.
Well, I certainly appreciate all the hard work of your office, what you have done to move forward. I want to make another observation, though. Despite some of the, I guess, not so fiscally responsible practices of the past with the office that allowed this to happen. It does show that the money was at least staying in the county and staying in the sheriff's department. Nobody was taking it. So
yeah, that was my primary concern with the audit. And, you know, we went through 40 pages of responses from the auditor back and forth about some of the issues in the office. And many of those issues are outside of our control. That have to do with court writs and documents and fees and things like that. But the what we found that was most concerning to me was there was nothing missing.
Right.
And not that there was ever a hint that that would be the case, but you know, I have ownership now. So I wanted sort of a bright line moving forward, and we're able to accomplish that. And at the same time, be able to turn over this money to Mr. Milowicki. So it can go.
That's the third time he said that. You need to stand up and get that check.
So I can go into the
fourth time, I will lose the fund.
Walk into the back.
Councilman
Cardio. Since I've been on council since 2004, we've never really had a situation where we had, you know, found money. And you know, I really appreciate your efforts to you know, reorganize the department and minutely examine, along with the county auditor, all the accounts there, and really figure out you know, what money we own, what money we don't. I really appreciate that, and I think that that really fulfills a commitment that all of us bring here at the table to, you know, having a fiscally accountable government with its transparent. So I'm glad you share those values, and I look forward to your continued leadership of the sheriff's office.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions, any members of the council? Public, do you have anything else? No?
That's it.
Okay, thank you very much.
We actually was going to print up a big giant check, but it wasn't in our budget, so.
Yes. Thank you. That would have bothered me unless you had a personal receipt for it. Okay, next, if we can have the, we're going to have the CFO checkbook presentation, which now includes some extra money. I need a moment to modify your presentation.
Oh, just note that the presentation you see today does not include this extra money.
And please note, it is one-time money.
Exactly.
That's correct. Thank you. Send somebody out so that they don't bounce.
Anybody else?
Hey, good afternoon. What we're going to do, what I thought I'd do is review the revenue activity for the first 6 months of the fiscal year for the various categories we normally sit here and look at. And then give it estimate projections of how the two major funds are doing, and then look at the checkbook for the current fiscal year and the next 5 years of what our finances look like. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Russ Mars from the Budget Office to give us a review of how our revenues are doing for the first 6 months.
Thank you, Ed. Unfortunately, I don't have a check for $424,000. And as you mentioned, it's not included in these projections, and there are a few things that will change as we move along, and I'll mention them as we come to those slides. This is a slide that most people are going to be familiar with. You've seen it before. How the funds coming in are distributed among the county, and you can see the lion's share goes to public safety, and then libraries, code enforcement, parks, general government, debt service. We even break out what you get for your nickel a little bit more with the Department of Land Use. Break that down. Virtually any of the slices could be broken down a little bit more like that as necessary. First of the revenue slides, RTT. This is one that we take a look at a lot. Our budget for this year is $16 million. So far, we've taken in $8.8 million. A lot of that was on the strength of the fall. As you can see in the line here, we had a very good start to the year with several large sales. A nursing home, an apartment complex, an office building, all sold in the first 3 months, pushing us above what we expected on a month-to-month budget. since then, we've been hovering close to the budget line. One of the things that disappointed us a little bit is here in December, we always see some of the larger transactions in December. Last year, we saw 6 transactions over $5 million during the month of December. This year, we saw none. So that's one of the reasons why you see the line being below budget for the month of December. Things will improve. This chart takes out the over $5 million transactions. So it only shows the what I would call the base transactions. And it's important to view this as a percent against, you know, what we would have in any given month. These blue bars are the average month for that particular month. And you'll see that they simply repeat from year to year. The black line shows what we have as a percentage against that average month. In order to meet budget this year, well, we would have to get 60% of the average month. Now, if I included over $5 million sales, we'd be well above the budget line in every single month in the early part of the year. But we washed that out, and you can see that even without the over $5 million, we had a steadily increasing percentage up until we got to December. And again, that was because in December we always see so many of these large transactions, and we just didn't have any large transactions this year. The trend line, though, has been positive, especially for ordinary transactions.
Mr. Chair, question?
Yes.
Federal tax policies typically change in the beginning of a year, creating incentives for year-end deals. I don't recall any particular incentive legislation that would have gone to effect in January.
Very little in the tax code changed this year. So there were no automatic incentives for somebody to transfer properties in December ahead of any tax changes this year. So, but even so, there even without changes in tax law, virtually every year you see some large transactions go through as companies prepare for the next calendar year. But yes, you're right, Councilman. Changes in tax law often move these forward. And we saw that last year, and we saw that the year before.
Thank you.
So far for the first 6 months, if we take a look at this chart, you can see that we're ahead in overall transactions. We're up 15%. The largest increase in those transactions is for the exemptions, where we only collect half of the RTT. These are for the first-time home buyers. That went from 531 in FY 2011 to 512, a difference, you know, of, from, I'm sorry, 531 to 737, a difference of 206, 38%. But then when we get down to the bottom half of the graph, where we see transactions between 500,000 and a million, between 1 and 5 million, and over 5 million, all of those categories are down. Those of you who remember this chart, the last time I was here 3 months ago, the bottom part, we were in fact ahead. Because we said we only had, I think, 2 transactions over $5 million for the first 3 months of 2011, but we had 4 for 2012. Well, that's changed around because we haven't had any new over $5 million transactions in the second 3 months of that half. So it changed things. It's repeated here. Again, you know, in FY 2011, at first we only had those 3 items. You know, and then we've added the apartment complexes, the hotel, and the United Electric transfer. And all of these were in the month of December. So it was $1 million, over $1 million in large transactions that we received last December alone. We received no transactions over $5 million this December. In 2012, again, if you'll recall, this is exactly the same list that I showed you 3 months ago. You know, for the first 6 months, all of our larger transactions were front-loaded into the first 3 months, none in the second 3 months. This list will change. We've already had one transaction over $5 million this month. Another apartment complex, smaller one in the Claymont area, sold this past week. And of course, most people have read the articles in the paper, Brandywine Country Club, that sale was pending. So another large transaction. So hopefully the next time we look at this list, we'll have a longer list of over $5 million transactions for you. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
What apartment complex in Claymont sold?
Waterview.
On Governor Prince Boulevard.
I can remember the address, but not the name.
Waterview.
Thank you.
Thanks. And Councilman Bell, President Kovac, have joined us.
The next largest category after RTT is our service charges. And this is just a listing of a few of the service charges that we bring up, and also the revenues received as of 12/31. Let's start right off at the top there with sheriff's commissions. Our original budget for sheriff's commissions for this year was $4.4 million. Through December 31st, we received $4.3 million. Not including the $424,000 we just received here. 98% of their budget during the first 6 months. Fees, sheriff fees, budget $1.4, received $600,000. Yeah. And then on down the list, as you can see, for the most part, we're either far ahead, as we are with sheriffs, or very close to 50%, which is where you'd expect to be. The exception is subdivision review, which is down significantly. That will be reflected in the individual chart that we show you for the projections on subdivision review. And it's another one of those revenue lines that we're watching closely as we move through the year. Deeds. As I mentioned, we're just slightly below the line on deeds. The budget, not including corporation fees for reporter of deeds, is $5.3 million. Year to date, we've received $2.6 million. And you see that we've reduced the budget, revenue estimates for deeds by a couple hundred thousand dollars in the latter half of the year. Well, that's because we know that during January, February, and March, we tend to have fewer real estate transactions. So there are going to be fewer fees received by the reporter of deeds, and that's going to ripple through the second half of the year. So we were up and then down some a little bit this year. When I look at their January numbers, they're going to be slightly above that budget line, but certainly we expect for February, March, and April, they'll be below. Sheriff's revenue. Again, this doesn't include the revenues just received. They've been significantly above their revenue line. We've increased the revenue estimates three times already for the sheriff's office. We went from the original $5.8 million for all of their fees together and increased that to $6.4 already. As I mentioned, we've taken in $4.9 million so far this year. And we expect to receive obviously more than that. Now, the reason you see a sharp drop-off in the second half of this the year is because we're waiting to find out what the impact is going to be of state legislation on foreclosures. As some of you may be aware, there's a new mediation process which is mandated for individual homeowners whose house is up for foreclosure. We're still waiting to find out what impact that's going to have upon the February sheriff sales. At first, we didn't expect it to take effect until March or possibly April. However, an attorney general's ruling, correct me if I'm wrong here, attorney general's ruling said that the attorneys had to file affidavits with your office saying that an opportunity has been given to the homeowners for mediation.
Yeah, we're still at 350 for February. Okay.
last I checked, we were well in the 200s for March. And we have to assume that the affidavit has been completed. We don't look at it. When the documents come to us, we process and move forward with the sale itself. So we're waiting to see this. Obviously, this is a line that will change again.
Yeah, I mean, I think in conjunction with that, every new foreclosure filed after January 19th now has to follow the new procedure. So it'll be there'll be a lag time, I think.
That's what we originally thought.
Yeah.
But the opinion by the AG's office was a little bit different. So, but having said that, we're still at that number. So it hasn't really made it.
We know that we're going to be making adjustments to the sheriff's revenue. It will probably, the estimate will increase next month. But we're still waiting to find out what's happening in this new environment so that we can get a better idea. We didn't want to increase it another million to $2 million and then come back later on in the year and reduce it. But by all expectations, the revenue estimate that we have will increase for the sheriff's office. We're just waiting to see what the impact of this legislation is going to be. And again, as I mentioned, we've already had the sheriff's sale information here for the month of January. And if you look at last year, there was only one month, that was the very first month, July, in which we exceeded 120 sales, whether they be third party or buybacks. And then for this year, every single month, we've had over 120 sales. And we've exceeded 140 four times. So we've had significantly more sales this year than at any time in our county's history. These numbers will probably decrease as a result of the legislation and create a small trough, much like we saw last year as a result of the robo-signing controversy. And probably the trough will be a little longer as people go through the mediation process. I think the expectation is at some point in the latter part of next fiscal year, the numbers are going to be back again as people have gone through the mediation process. And again, it probably will not change the total number of houses that are up for foreclosure in the immediate future.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Councilman Street.
On this square.
Yes.
Can you just explain to me what the difference is in third party and buyback, purple versus red?
A buyback is generally, let's say, a mortgage company. Now, they file to recover a property, goes to foreclosure. If nobody is willing to, bid the amount of the mortgage company buys back the property. So it ends up being property of the owner of the original note. Third party is where somebody other than the original plaintiff or holder of the note obtains the property. So if there's a mortgage of $75,000 and it's an open sheriff sale and somebody bids $80,000, the mortgage company isn't going to bid $80,000 because they'll get their $70,000. The third party purchases it. Or more likely, that's a tax sale, where a property is being foreclosed because of non-payment of taxes. And somebody comes in and purchases it and satisfies the tax limits.
So I just want to make sure I'm reading this correctly. The actual number of share sales are the purple and red together?
Correct.
And based on that, we're somewhere between 1,100 and 1,500 for a year in Newcastle County alone.
I'm trying to remember what the numbers added up to.
We set up about 350 every month, and we sell anywhere from 100 to as many as 140 each month. So I mean, for half a year, I would estimate between 6 to 7% sales.
So the month number somewhere between 1,100 and 1,500 for the year.
And that is significantly higher than we had seen in the past.
Which I think is a terrible number. Okay, and the fact that, you know, we're 98% halfway through the year. We're putting 1,000 folks, making 1,000, 1,100 to 1,500 folks, and whoever else is in the house, 11 families, which will include children, to a homeless in Newcastle County.
I think everybody would agree that we would rather see increased revenues coming from RTT or property taxes or building fees and less coming from share sales. This is one of the areas where we hopefully are going to be able to see reductions in the future. Nobody likes this one. Subdivision and zoning review. This is a fairly variable revenue source. Our budget for the year was $1.9 million. We reduced the estimate down to $1.8 million. And year to date, we've only taken in $600,000. We're considering whether or not this is going to need an additional reduction in the second half of the year. Of course, it is variable. You can see that last year in the fall, it wasn't one large project, but three or four projects came in within a period of a month, creating this big blip. We haven't seen anything to that magnitude, very few large projects coming in this year, which is one of the reasons why the numbers are down. We'll be reviewing that as we move along. This is a list of those projects, and you can see that last year, for the entire year, we had several of these fairly large projects totaling almost $600,000. In FY 2012, two, for $131,000. Again, this is one of the reasons why we're going to be carefully looking at this. These numbers, the next time we talk, may be a little bit lower. This is one that we do know will be going up. It's building permit revenue. Building permit revenue obviously has both residential and commercial component. Residential has been growing compared certainly to 2-3 years ago. And the commercial component has been very variable. Most of the peaks that we see are related to larger projects as they come in. Last year, the largest peak that we had was towards the end of the year when the second office building at DuPont Chestnut Run permits were pulled. The year earlier, we had another peak when the first building at DuPont Chestnut Run permits were pulled. This is the peak that we're expecting as a result of the permits being pulled for AI DuPont Children's Hospital. Those permits were actually pulled the beginning of January, so we know that we're going to see a significantly larger chunk for building permit revenue during this month. That's led us to increase the revenue estimate, which had originally been 2.3, it's now up to 2.6. Now, we had taken in $1 million, and that $1 million, through December 31st does not include AI DuPont Hospital, which by itself was $600,000. So at the end of this month, we're gonna have 1.6 in building permit revenues. This is a list of the construction permits this year as compared to last year. If you look at the residential numbers down here, it's 221 new residential buildings so far this year. Compared to last year, that was 247. Yeah, but the numbers are actually a little better in terms of revenues for this because two of those, we have two projects here that were multi-residential, essentially condominium apartments. And obviously the building permits on those are significantly larger than a townhouse or a single family house. So overall, the permits for residentials, when we include multi-residentials, are higher than last year. Commercials were slightly higher Even though the numbers are lower, 31 compared to 43, but most of that was originally for fit-outs. And again, once we get to the month of January, we're going to see that one big boost from AI DuPont Hospital. I had to add in AI DuPont to this chart because otherwise it would have looked so forlorn. In 2011, we had these projects all through the year, which brought in $325,000. Those were the major commercial construction permits. During FY 2012, during the first half of the year, we only had a couple of projects come through, and then suddenly, first week in January, we had AI DuPont Hospital. So that's pushed us to close to $700,000. Had to add that in just to make the chart look good for 2012. And as I said, those numbers have already been included in our revenue estimates for this year. Sewer. Yeah. The big item in sewer is obviously our sewer charges, both residential and non-residential. We have a budget this year of $57.8 million for non-residential and residential combined. And that would be 26.4 for the residential and 31.4 for non-residential. We've modified those a little bit for our estimates. We've reduced the residential by 100,000. It's now at 26.3. And we've reduced non-residential by 100,000, 31.3. That is a total of 57.6, in part because we're looking at the actuals that we've received so far this year-to-date for non-residential. And that's almost exactly on target. I think it's 1% below estimate for the first half of the year. We have the billing information for non-residential, and when we add in the estimated percentage of collections against the billings, we're saying that'll probably bring us down about 100, maybe 150,000. We've taken 100,000 off the estimate. So right now our estimate is 57.6, and this shows you the 6-year trend and what the average residential sewer invoice has been over the years, starting in 2006 with the 241 and ending with 283 for calendar year 2012.
Yeah, just a note, those average residential sewer bills are being mailed out today to the homeowners. Those bills will be due February 29th, leap day this year. So they get an extra day to pay them this year. So
there was Mr. Milowicki with that very good news.
So the average residential bill that will hit the streets is around $283.
What percentage of the sewer invoices are senior discounted? Do you have any idea?
The number of accounts that get the senior discount, you're saying?
Yeah.
If I have that number, I'll pay it for
you. Is it a large number? Is it 20% of our sewer invoices? 15%? 10%?
It's not that many. I mean, it's not that high. Maybe 3,000 accounts out of 115,000 accounts.
You remember under the old exemption, seniors were exempted. Their bill would have been $36.
Right.
I think it was in 2008, around that period it was changed, where the now new seniors in the program either pay half of their bill, but not less than the minimum bill, which is $50 now. So it's the new senior, the new seniors applying. But we'll get that information as far as how many seniors are in the program. So. Okay, so where are we, these current projections? Again, this excludes the check that the sheriff gave us today. On the expenditure side in the general fund budget, we're currently looking at projected savings in the budget of about $700,000, 163.6 versus the 162.9. Those savings are from salary savings. I will give council a heads up that we are probably going to be coming to council probably in the last quarter of the fiscal year for an ordinance for gasoline. The prices of gasoline, as you all know, continues to rise, and we'll probably have to add about $400,000 to the budget for this year for gasoline.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Exactly.
Thank you for the fuel.
We're sending that check right to Exxon.
I heard on the radio that the prices for January were the highest prices ever at the gas pump. And so, there's rumors out there that by the summer, the gas will be $5 a gallon. We'll see that. But at least for this fiscal year, we're probably going to have to come back to council with some type of ordinance. Probably April or end of March for additional money for gas. Again, because of the fuel price. Revenues, again, primarily due to the activity in the sheriff's office. We're looking to be over our revenue estimates. So on a positive cash flow, we're looking at about $800,000positive gain for the year. At the end of last fiscal year, we had $52.8 million of available cash balance. If we add the $800,000, well, at the end of this year, we're projecting about $53.6 million of available cash reserves in the general fund. The sewer fund's the same way. We're doing pretty good there. We think we're going to break even as far as our expenditures versus our revenues. Right now, we're projecting about $100,000 positive cash flow in the sewer fund. We began the year with roughly $13.2 million of available cash, with $100,000 projecting currently. And to add to that, we'll end the year with $13.3 million of available cash in the sewer fund. So what's our next projection look like for 2017? The gold or mustard color shows your activity for the current year, which I just talked about. Just draw your attention from 2013 to 2017, you'll see there's operating budget shortfalls based on our current revenues and current expenditures that we're aware of, that we will have shortfalls to make up either through fee increases, rate changes, or reduced services in order to have balanced budgets. We're currently looking at 2013 of a $5.1 million shortfall for 2013 budget. We are currently in the budget process with the departments, meeting with them, and we're working through that number. In the sewer fund, again, 2012, we're showing the break even, again, the gold or mustard color, about $100,000. But in the out years, we are showing shortfalls, our revenues over expenditures. We don't have the revenue growth there to meet the cost of running the sewer fund. We're showing $2.8 million shortfalls all the way up through $8.6 million annually in the sewer fund. Again, as we go through this, we'll either have to look at either rate increase or reducing our expenditure or cost to operate the sewer fund as we go forward. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer them right now.
Any questions, any members of council? Public?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Still no shake of the building excitement. You've lost your touch.
Trying to calm things down, sir.
Next on the agenda is council's FY 2013 budget hearing calendar schedule that was distributed to everyone previously. And just to put it out here, the budget hearings will maintain the start time of 3 p.m. as we had in the past. The first hearing will begin March 26th, and from that point forward, it's every Monday at 3 o'clock here in the chamber. Meeting room, whatever you want to call it. All right, you'll be kept informed. You know, occasionally, as you're well aware, we have to adjust for schedules of departments to move that around, but you'll be informed in advance as quickly as we do. And that is the meeting schedule. First one, March 26th. From then, every Monday on out through May 14th. And then budget vote at the last council meeting in May, as required by law. Any questions on the schedule? And as in the past, Councilman Cardi and I will be rotating the chairing of those meetings. So if any departments or anything have any communication, please make sure they go to both co-chairs and both aides. Okay. Next on the agenda is the Newcastle County Council grant application. We have one grant before us, and I believe that's Western Family YMCA with Councilman Sheldon.
Okay, well, of all things, I don't have it in front of me, but I've done this before a million times. This is probably, this is from the Western Y. This is actually a strong kids campaign. Most Ys do have it. We've given it to it before, as you can see, prior grants. This actually goes not just to the people on Kirkwood Highway or Pike Creek. The people come from Western Y, come from all over the county, basically, but it's definitely above the canal. But a lot of children from Wilmington and so forth come down. And what that is, these are scholarships, basically, for the young kids. They go to summer camp during the summer, after school, and so forth. And it's more or less for swimming or different kind of activities that the Y puts on. And this basically just helps their fundraising. The past, I'm no longer on the board, so I can actually vote on this one this time. But I was want to let everybody know I was on the board for 8 years. And every year we're in the $100,000 range. But we spent over $350,000 a year. So the Western Y was always taking from the people that joined the YMCA and taking part of that money to subsidize. So just to let everybody know, the 100 grand that they did wasn't even close to half what they needed. But it's a very good program, or programs. And they go to Camp Takawa, so forth, and join with the Girl Scouts on different activities and emerging together. But they're asking for $2,500, and there's just no way I can give the $2,500. So I'm asking council for $750 to be allocated out of my budget to the Western YMCA.
Councilman Cartier.
Tim, this is the Y on Kirkwood Highway?
Yeah.
I know it's a very valuable community resource. I'd like to, are you making a motion, or you want me to make a motion? Or?
Well, since I'm no longer on a board, I can actually make that motion this time,
I guess. There's a motion on the floor for a $750 second. Grant. There's a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those voting no?
Thank you.
Any other? I'm going not voting.
Not voting.
Not voting. President Kovac.
Yeah, just a question for information. Do we have we modified the maximum grant amount?
No.
It's still 2,500? Yeah. Okay.
As in the rules that were adopted 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
That did not change. Okay. That being done, I'd like the council's approval to quickly address two items before we go to expense and revenue roundtable. Is that okay with everybody? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just quickly, several of us attended the meeting last night down in the city, in the chamber with the city for the waste gas to power treatment plant. That's using the methane gas to power the plant and basically turn what waste there, greatly reduce it and turn it into a usable form of fertilizer. Well, not a pellet that is actually burnt by concrete companies. I found it very interesting. I could only stay for about an hour. It's a long process before they ever get to it. It's got to go through city council and everything else. Again, I know we had there was some special services staff there, so they could monitor what was going on. The one thing I didn't hear before I left was who would control the fees, because it would be an outside entity under contract for 20 years to operate the facility. And as we did with Amoresco, the savings would pay the loan, and then there would be a profit on top of that. But one thing I didn't hear, and I know we as a county have to monitor, is who's going to control the rates during that 20-year period. So that's just, like I said, I ironically, I think quite a few of us, and I think even some city council members saw it in the paper yesterday, and that's how we became aware of the meeting that was at last night. So we'll keep an eye on that, because that will affect the finances of the county and how we move forward. So just put that out there. Another item I came across in looking, had some discussion. I just want to read this to you very quickly. It's House Bill 250. Was voted out of committee and in front of the House today. This bill makes several technical changes to the reapportionment legislation passed during the first session of 146th General Assembly. The corrections include clarifying road names, non-visible boundaries and direction designations, adjustments to make some representative and senatorial lines congruent, aligning district lines, with some county council lines and eliminating some election districts that have no registered voters. It's my understanding that the three county redistricting maps were incorporated in with the state, and this is what's coming forward. This is the corrections that they had to make to it. I understand there was actually an election district in the middle of Route 202 that they had a problem getting rid of. I mean, just the medium strip was an election district. So, you know, and by law, they would have had to put a booth there. So, you know, this is before the House today. I believe it will move forward. And some people wonder, well, what's a big deal? Well, until this is done, Department of Elections can't push that final button that moves the people, changes EDs and the lines, and every member of the public could then go get a map that would legitimately show where they are. So, I know Mr. Boyle, you know, several of us have been pounding on this to get it done. So hopefully it will be done at least by the end of the month before they go out of session. So that being it, next we have the expense and revenue roundtable. Does anyone have anything for the expense and revenue roundtable? Councilman Street.
I don't know where it fits. I'll just say that it goes here. I'm really, really concerned about what we just saw when the high number was 500 in terms of new homes. We're 200 some for new homes thus far this year, and we're projecting 1,100 to 1,500 foreclosures. Those numbers, they speak for themselves, and I'm just seriously, genuinely concerned about that and the fact that, unfortunately, we're going to be in a position to balance this budget this year off the backs of folks who are being disenfranchised and having the most difficult time in their life. So I just couldn't let this session end without saying that.
I agree, and I said this a while back, and I will say it again, and it's nothing new. It's in the press. It's everywhere. As we move forward, particularly in our state, with our low tax rates already, the ever-aging population, is every year we lose a bigger bite of our tax base as well to the seniors' exemption. So we've got the homes going vacant, we've got the amount of building going down, and at the same time, we have revenue there. So hey, if it was easy, everyone would do it. Councilman Holland.
As it relates to the foreclosures, as part of the Community Services Committee meeting this afternoon, Jerry Kelly will be here to address the issue of foreclosure. And just talking to him last night, it seems as though a lot of the attorneys are rushing to meet the deadline that's imposed with the new AG's process or whatever he's coming forth with. Jerry is a part of that, so I think what you're going to see is probably a large bump in foreclosure application because they're trying to meet the deadline that requires to have this mediation.
Right. Councilman Street.
The only thing that
that's in the spirit of the law, isn't it?
I didn't ask for, and I'm just hoping Sheriff may be available. I'd like to look at the total number city versus that in the council is separated and which foreclosures are in the city and or being caused by the city. Because there's some in my area where the city is continuing to take people's houses for water bills and you know, even if they're not in the city, they're on the house, property themselves are not located in the city, but they're on city water service.
Okay. Continuing on expense revenue roundtable. Let me take a real deep breath here, because we've chewing on this for 2 weeks. I'm not, I've been advised otherwise, but I am who I am. 2 weeks ago, I sat here and listened to these rules for respect for one another and everything. Well, I'm going to tell you, we've discussed this before. I'm going to raise it again today. And those that get offended, But I'm going to tell you, I'd rather sit here or in council chamber go head-to-head than have to hear it on the radio. The expense and revenue roundtable is to bring ideas forward for this council. On behalf of myself, as co-chair of finance, and as a member of this council who plans on being here in the future, Council President Kovac, I'm extremely offended with you. You've sat here for 22 meetings since being elected, brought nothing positive forward for the expense and revenue roundtable. Yet, after the last meeting, I get a phone call the next day. You're on the radio with all these ideas on how to help our budget and save it. I really wish, if you have them, and this goes for everybody, including myself, let's bring them here, because Rick Jensen don't get a vote. Right? He doesn't get a vote on this council. And I know, and I'm, believe me, see the rules? I'm saying this with respect, but I'm not going to say it behind your back or go on the radio and do it. It's wrong. It's unfair to us. It's unfair to the people in Newcastle County. And if you want to talk about helping the county, you supported dumping dog control on us without any money to back it. So I just wish in the future you would bring it forward and let's discuss it here. Let's have some basis forward. And that's off of my chest. President Kovac.
Well, thank you, Councilman Smiley. As you were sure to be told, there was no accusations about any activity or action on behalf of any council. I used what is my opportunity and right to do to propose ideas, to float ideas, and to get public support for ideas to save this county money. It is my right to do that. I will continue to do that. And at the time that there are concrete proposals, or I can work with people to put those proposals forward, I will. I find it ironic that I was criticized for not bringing ideas before the last budget. I'm bringing ideas out way before the budget. I am vetting them in public, and I am trying to get support for ideas that could save this county money in a time of great need. I'm sorry if you're offended by it. I will continue to do so, to work to save the county money, to do my job as I was elected to do so. I did so in a way that was very respectful and did not criticize any particular member of this council or this government in doing so.
I didn't say you criticized, but it is disrespectful. How in the world are you going to get anything passed out there with the press? I have no problem. If you'd have discussed it in here and then went on the radio, I think that's great. I mean, let's face it, you'd have to be blind not to realize from day one that this was nothing but a stepping stone for you. And that's fine. A lot of people do that. But some of us want to stay. Some of us want to work through it. And if you've got some legitimate ideas and some basis for it, bring it. I'm happy to work with anybody. I've worked across the aisle for years. But I don't think it's fair to this council for us not to hear anything, not to get a chance to work with it. And you go and float piecemeal to the press. Continue doing it. You will. I will continue to disagree with it. And in November, you'll know how the voters feel about it, just like the rest of us will. It is what it is. But some of us choose not to make everything we do and everything with this council political. So, again, I'm not going to talk behind your back. I don't talk behind anybody's back. That's why it's here. President Holland, I mean, Pro Tem Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did not hear the radio program at all. But the day after the executive gave his state of the county during the newspaper article, there was certainly criticism of the executive, and everyone has a right to do that. I just think it's much easier to criticize than it is to lead. And if you have sound ideas, I think that then you're able to lead. But furthermore, what referring to the point you made about civility and how we treat each other, I think to second guess the county exec's intention with some of the things that we talk about here. Don't second guess my intentions. Oh, you're trying to, you know, say what I mean, let me say it for myself. But to suggest that the executive did it for political reasons, I thought, was certainly trying to second guess what the executive's intent was.
Yeah, no.
Absolutely. Again, I was asked to make suggestions in the public, which I have. I will defend those actions and will continue to do so, and will work with members of council to make some of those changes. I made suggestions before. Some of those changes were adopted. You you take as a starting point an opportunity to rally public support for good ideas, and I will continue to do that. Again, I'm not sure about who criticized or what about any motive or intent. I think it would be my comments. I didn't criticize anybody's intent in making a speech. All I said is things that I would like to see done at county council, and I think could be done for our county to save money. And again, I defend that and will continue to do so. If I wanted to do something for political purposes, which it has now been implied.
No, it hasn't been implied. I stated it.
Okay.
I didn't imply squat.
Well, again, I was trying to be polite.
Don't bother wasting your time.
Well,
with
me. Then if you're going to cite the county rules then and waive them, then please, I appreciate you bringing it up to me in an honorable way, but then please follow them and don't characterize what I'm doing to try to save the county money as characterize that motivation in a political basis.
Then help me understand how you're saving them money. You're bringing nothing here for us to work through.
Well, for example, one of the 4 points that I brought up when I was voting against the budget was pension reform. We've actually passed pension reform. That's one of the 4 ideas that I mentioned before the budget process.
We worked on pension changes before you ever got here.
Oh, and
that's fine.
Well, that's great. And I mentioned them and supported them and brought them out to the public to gain public support for those ideas.
But they were discussed in here.
And they were discussed on the outside. That's great. We can't discuss. You don't discuss with your constituency. You don't take an opportunity to discuss with your constituency things that you're trying to make happen in the county.
I would discuss everything. Specifically, I answer questions about what you go and mouth off on the radio.
Oh, well, that's great. Well,
from
I
the
take
three people that listen.
I take the opportunity to go out to the public.
My point to you is, if you have something basis that can help the finances, we would like to see them.
And you will.
I'm not going to meet you at the radio station.
That's
so
great.
Hopefully you can regurgitate them in here with us and have some basis for them. And there are other questions, any comments, council? Anything from the public? Is there a motion?
Motion is adjourned.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye. I want to continue.
All those not voting.